Well, again, I am glad that you're here, folks. Again, this message here, as I said earlier, something I was led to and a little bit inspired about, and I think maybe we all can relate to this. I like to start off with an introduction, as I always do all the time. So I'm glad y'all are here. It is Friday night. It's time for another wonderful message. I hope it is. If it doesn't speak to y'all, at least it speaks to me. But have you ever thought about this? It seems now, more than ever, we are living in the era of crisis. Big word, crisis. It seems like now more than ever, we are living in that era. Crisis everywhere. Crisis in our lives. Crisis within our community. Crisis within our church. Within our families. Within this world. And everywhere we turn, we are always met with one crisis after another. No matter what the crisis may be, good or bad, it needs to bring each of us to a crisis of belief. Let me repeat that. When we encounter crisis in our lives, I'm the first one to admit to you, a lot of times it does cause a crisis of belief to me. I was talking with another pastor friend yesterday on the phone. And he's been preaching for, Lord, 42 years. And at first he said, you know, I would have never thought a believer would have crisis. Or I never thought a believer would really question or have serious doubts about God. Because he was always the one, let's just say, acting like super Christian, had the answers for everything. Oh, to take care of your problems, you got to be strong in the Lord. I talked to a lot of ministers in the past, and they all said the same thing. And a lot of them, I look in my mind and look at them, hogwash. Yeah, God is our power. God is the one we go to. But apparently they had never had hard crises in their lives to understand. Sometimes the faith can be shaken so severely, you are questioning God. I have plenty of times. We all do, if you're honest with yourself. If you're a super Christian and you never question yourself and never question God, please, whenever we get time to get together, let me know your secret. Let me know. And yes, it does cause you to fall in sin, just like what I did. It happens. See, folks, a crisis of belief is a turning point where we must make some decisions that will determine whether we go on to be involved with God and stand strong in our faith and beliefs in Him, or become tempted to walk away from it and go into the world and stay away from everyone. It'll happen. And it can happen. So those of you who got your Bible with you tonight, let's turn to Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Luke chapter 16, verse 1 through 3. And starting off at verse 1, he also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and please forgive me, I'm going to chop this, an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. Kind of sound familiar? So he called the man, or he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you no longer can be a steward. Then the steward said within himself, what should I do? For my master is taking away the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed. You think he was facing a crisis? I think so. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we stand before you, and God, you already know, you know what I've been dealing with a lot as of late, not just with this, but other things, financial things, life event things, relationships with you, doubts, unbeliefs. I know everything is in your words. I know where we're supposed to look. I know what we're supposed to do. And I understand all that. I know there's greater power in he who is in me than he who is of this world. But yet, I'm dealing with these crises. And it's shaking my tree. It's knocking off a bunch of leaves. I don't know what else to tell you because I can't lie to you because you know what's in my mind anyway. So I ask of you to help me through all this. Help the folks that's here in whatever crisis they may be dealing with. We all are going through something and we need your help badly. And I know when we cry out for help, we wait and wait and we wait. And we wait. And sometimes we seem like it's nothing's happening. Sometimes that's not a good feeling, Lord. It really not a good feeling. And I know at times we don't feel like it or we don't want to believe it or we have a hard time trusting it, but we got to trust you. And we got to lean on you. So help us, all of us here tonight. And those who are listening to this message, if you're facing a crisis of belief or a crisis in your life that's causing you to doubt or is shaking your tree or your spiritual tree or whatever it may be. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, Lord, but come, help us. We're crying out to you. So be with us in a short little time. I know I had to say what I had to say, and I just had to do that. And if it's wrong, then I will pay for it. But thank you again for loving us, being with us. Bless those folks who are here tonight. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. So, folks, let me grab some water real quick. My throat's drying up. Now, I'm sorry we're going to run over a little late because my thing I had to tell you. But I do title this message tonight, a turning point in your walk with the Lord. Your turning point in your walk with the Lord. You know that you had a bad day. And I kind of thought about this, and some of this is cute. But you know that you had a bad day when you see 60 Minutes news team waiting in your office? Or your birthday cake collapsed from the weight of the candles? Or you wake up and discover that your waterbed broke? Then you realize you don't have a waterbed at all? Your income taxes check bounces? Or your twin brother or sister forgets your birthday? Or you really know that you're having a bad day when the bird singing outside your window is a buzzard? That's a bad day, isn't it? And I think we all had bad days that we would soon forget and never have to repeat it again? I believe we can all agree to that. I think we all agree that, you know, we had those bad days and we'd just soon forget it and never hope to repeat it again. And if we look really hard at our situations, many times the crisis we are having in our lives are not caused by others. But when we are really honest with ourselves, folks, we are the cause of much of our crisis. May shock some of you as hearing this. Yes, a lot of times when we're facing crisis in our lives, a lot of times we are the cause of that crisis. And even though the crisis we are experiencing may be caused by our own doing, it is still a crisis that we, you and I, must deal with in such. The crisis that we are experiencing on a daily basis many times either bring us closer to our Lord, and other times it drives us into a different direction. And as we encounter crisis in our lives, we need to understand that God is allowing these crises for a reason, and it is our job to determine what the reason may be. It is important to realize that when we refer to crisis, it doesn't always mean something really bad. Even though most of the times that's exactly what it is. Now also, that crisis can be something that is really positive. Huh? Say what? That's right, folks. Sometimes the crisis you face can be positive. I don't know if you got your finger up on the side of your cheek or not going, So what would you consider a positive crisis? I came up with a lot of me. But to help you understand what crisis means, that the word crisis comes from a word that means, are you ready for this? Crisis comes from a word that means decision. Oh, I just learned that when I was going through this message. Didn't know that. I thought crisis was something that was bad. But it means decision. And no matter what the crisis may be, good or bad, it needs to bring each of us to a turning point where we must make some decisions that will determine whether we go on to be involved with God in something God-sized, or whether we will continue to go our own way and miss what God has for us. You get that? A crisis of belief should bring us to make three. A crisis of belief should bring you to make three major responses in our walk with the Lord, and they are. The first response in our crisis should be a crisis of belief will first cause us to decide what we really believe about God. That's right, my friends. The first crisis of belief will cause you to decide what you really believe about God. And when we face a crisis of belief, whether good or bad, we must decide then what we believe about God. We have to. You must make that decision. What do I believe about God? Is God real? Is God true? Is God going to do what he says he's going to do? Or should I just say, you know what? Heck on it. I'm done with you. I'm going back to my old life. Mentally thinking about what we believe is the easy part. That's right. Mentally thinking about what we believe is the easy part, because you can believe in something bad and you can convince yourself. I'm sure Beth can relate to that. She's a counselor. What you think, therefore you are. That's why the scriptures tells us to captivate our thoughts. Because those thoughts can captivate you. And the hard part is living out what we think and even say we believe. What we say we believe about God must be based solely on what God's word says. What we believe about God must be based solely on his words and not what we think. If what we believe is based on just what others tells us, then folks, it won't last a lifetime. It won't. And the problem with most people today is they are allowing other people to have great influences on their beliefs. And when these people are gone or lets us down or hurts us, or lie to us, many times they drop out, and most of the time, never see them in God's house. And we see this a lot in churches today. We can't believe God's words unless we read and know God's words. And many times people I have counseled and talked to, when they're facing a crisis of belief in their lives, I call myself three core questions. I talked about the core of your spirituality last week. But it's three core questions I usually ask the person. And one of them is, how often do you read the Bible? And I hear a lot of people say, well, Jim, it's been a long time. Oh, really? I kind of really don't read it at all. Whoa, really? Then usually I kind of go to my second question. How often do you pray? Well, that's kind of been a while too. Wow. Then I go to my third one. How often are you in church? Well, Jim, be all full of hypocrites. I don't really go all the time. Well, duh, I think I see where your real problem is, what you're facing. And I try to show them that, to wake them up, to let them see that. I experienced that with a lady in this chat room. That opened her eyes. And she constantly thanks me for that. But that's why I said this, folks, because we can't believe God's words unless we read and know his words. And do you know what keeps us from reading and knowing God's words? Do you know what keeps us from that? Can somebody answer that question for me, please? What keeps you from reading God's words? Take a shot at it. I'll give you a hint. It's three words. Three letters. I'm sorry. Sin. S-I-N, sin. Repeat after me, folks. This book will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from this book. Do you believe that? Do y'all? For this book to get us, in us, to us, through us, and help us in times of crisis, we are going to have to get into this book big time. Seriously. Should be to the point, we should be almost to the point of eating all of it. And if you notice all through scriptures, we see where the ordinary, common, everyday people, just like you and me, had to decide what they really believe about God. And I love this chapter in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You know, when you get time, please go read that chapter. But I love it because, see, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we see David is just one example. And what David had to do, he had to decide what he really believed about God when he was confronted with Goliath. He had to make a decision. We all know the story, man. This dude, this claimed he's well over 10 foot tall. Big dude. I'm a little bitty old puny every 5'9". If I come across a 10 foot dude, I'd be like, man, this dude could just swat me like a fly. But David had to make a decision. He had to decide that he was going to believe what God said. And David refused to rely on human wisdom for guidance. Oh, I'm not going to trust myself. I'm not going to trust what King Saul's telling me. I'm not going to trust what so-and-so's telling me. You know, they are my friends. No, I'm not going to trust them. I'm going to trust in the Almighty God. He created everything and he could destroy everything. But you know what would have happened if David would have done that? God, I don't trust you. I'm going to take care of this thing my way. Man, big Goliath would have, bow, slapped him like he was nothing. Like he done all the other men that came before him. But notice what David said. And I love this. David's statements in 1 Samuel chapter 17 indicated that he believed God was the living God and that he was the great, he was the great deliverer. God used a giant, my friends, to bring David to a crisis of belief. Sometimes God will use a crisis of a big giant to bring you to a point where you must believe in him. God will use those giants to bring a crisis of belief to all of us. And that's where you have to make that decision. What am I going to believe? Myself? Or what God says? See, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37 tells us, in factually, what David believed about God. Notice what he said. He was saying this. He said that the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and paw of the bear will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine. What did that say? What David said to himself, David decided before he came to this crisis what he believed about God. How is your response to the crisis of belief that's occurring in your life right now? What is it saying about you? What is it saying? What do you really believe about God? You think about that one. You think about it. Another major response whenever we are faced with a crisis of belief, the second one. What it does, the second response is, a crisis of belief will require, are you ready for this? Some of you know I love to step on toes, not on purpose, but you know, some call me a toe stepper. Some do. But the second major response that we must do when facing a crisis of belief will require major adjustments to be made on our part. That's right. There's some major adjustments that you're going to have to do. And as we come to decide what really or what we really believe about God, we will then need to make some major adjustments in our lives. Many of us want God to speak to us. However, we are not interested in making any major adjustments or changes in our lives. And biblically, my friends, that is impossible. If we want God to bless us and speak to us, we, you and I, must be willing to make some major adjustments in our lives. We cannot continue life as usual or stay where we are going and go with God at the same time. We can't do that. You're either all the way in or you're all the way out, whichever it's going to be. And if you're not all the way in, you best start making some major adjustments in your life. And every time that God spoke to people in scriptures about something he wanted to do through them, major adjustments had to be made. Noah could not continue life as usual and build an ark at the same time. He couldn't. So he had to make some major adjustments. He had to say, okay, I'm going to have to build an ark and I'm just not going to worry about the other things. Abram could not stay in Ur and father a nation to the Canaans. Moses could not stay on the backside of that desert herding sheep and stand before Pharaoh at the same time. No, he couldn't do that. David had to leave his sheep to become king. Peter and James and John, wow. They had to leave their fishing business in order to follow Jesus. And God, listen up, folks. God even required major adjustments from his own son. Look at what 2 Corinthians verse 8-9 says. Look at what it says. She's going to post it for you. And the reason why I say that God required major adjustments from his own son, look what that scripture says. That he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, or being poor, might become rich. That's a major adjustment. I kind of relate to that because I had to leave a $100,000 a year job when I retired to something less than $30,000 a year. But that's not really what I'm trying to get at. My major adjustment is I had to decide what am I going to believe about God and what needs to be changed in my life. And what we see here in this passage here, we see that Jesus emptied himself of a position and wealth in heaven in order to join the Father in providing redemption through his death on the cross. Whoo! That was a major adjustment. What kind of adjustments will you need to make now? I ain't talking about next year, my friends. I ain't talking about when you get older. But now, in order for God to do great things through you and for you. Think about that. Will it be in your circumstances, your job, home, finances, undertaking? Will it be in your relationships with your family, your friends, your business associate, or others? Will it be in your commitments to the family, to the church, to plans, tradition, servanthood to the Lord? Will it be in your actions of how you pray, how you give, serve others? Will it be those adjustments? Will it be? Tonight, my friends, your greatest single difficulty in following God may come at a point of the adjustment you know deep down inside of you that you're going to have to make. There is no ifs and no buts. There's no way of getting around it. If there's a crisis of belief that's happening to you that exposed something to you and is now telling you, you must now make some major adjustments. And you know deep down inside of you, it's true. Which brings us to the third major response that we must do when facing a crisis. Lastly, like I said, a crisis of belief will demand that we take action that demonstrates our faith. Let me grab some water. My voice is drying up. Let me repeat this slowly, because sometimes I'm crazy in my old down south Cajun accents. It's hard for people to understand me. But lastly, a crisis of belief will demand that we take action that demonstrates our faith. And what I want you to think about most of all with that statement right there, folks, once you and I have determined what we really believe about God, and we have adjusted ourselves to Him and His purpose, His ways, we will be put in a position to take action that demonstrates our faith. When we agree with God that His purpose and His ways is the best for our lives, it will be then you will see God doing some great things through your life. The things that you will be able to accomplish will be unexplainable at times. And a lot of times we say, I can't explain this. I can't. But that's what happens when you determine what you really believe about God and how you adjusted yourself to His ways and His purpose. And you put yourself in that position to take action to demonstrate that faith. When we, my friends, are faced with a crisis of belief, what we do demonstrates what we really believe. Oh, and I love this, because Luke records a beautiful experience in Luke chapter 10. When you read that, you see it. Sometimes I still keep reading it, and I still keep seeing new experiences. But see, he records that beautiful experience in Luke chapter 10 of Jesus' disciples joining him in his work. And what did he do? He invited 70 to join him. Not one or two, but 70. And they obeyed and experienced God doing through them something they knew that only God can do. Oh, that's beautiful. And when you obey God and make that decision in your crisis to follow him, you're going to see things that will happen that only God can do. May not be right away, but it'll happen. And when we demonstrate our faith with action, we will see God doing things in our homes, our church, our community, our family, and our individual lives that only He can do. Folks, true faith requires actions from us. True faith requires actions from us. I'm going to repeat it one more time. True faith in God requires actions from us. Look what James says in chapter 2, verse 26. It's right there in black and white. Word of God says so. Look what he says. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That's an action, folks. True faith requires action from us. What we do not do, what we say, especially in the times of crisis, demonstrate what we really believe. That's right. Let's just say you're in a crisis.
It's all over with. I can't see nothing of it. My life is all going to heck in a handbag. Oh, I'm forever lost.
And if I were looking at you, I'm like, and that's a 20-year-old person, a 20-year Christian, talking like that? That's a preacher talking like that? Hint, hint. That's a Sunday school teacher talking like that? Makes you wonder what they're really believing, right? See, folks, it's not about what we just do on Sundays, but every day that shows to God, to others, and ourselves the level of faith. Tonight, folks, tonight, the Lord is seeking to use the crisis in our lives to transform us to a better man, woman, or young person. And the key to know this is how we respond to the crisis in our lives. Do we allow God to transform us? Or do we try to handle it on our own? What do we do? This, my friends, is a decision that must be made. That is a decision you have to make. So I'm going to leave y'all this in closing. So tonight, I challenge you to examine your own life. All of you. All of you who are listening to this sermon right now. I don't know your names. I know people who listen to it. But if you're listening to this message today, tonight, whatever time's on your end, I challenge you to examine your own life. Ask yourself, what do I fear more? Whose power do I respect more? The power of our loving God or the power of crisis? What do you fear more? Tonight I ask you, but more importantly, Jesus is asking you, my friends, what kind of crisis of belief are you experiencing tonight? What kind of crisis of belief are you experiencing tonight? Maybe it's happening for a purpose. Could it be that God is allowing these crises we face to get us to decide what we really believe and to get us to make some needed adjustments in our lives, as well as getting us to demonstrate our faith in action? If we would do these three things I mentioned tonight, then we will be better able to handle anything that the devil or what this world is trying to throw at us. So tonight, we, you and I, need to be really encouraged. We need to be encouraged. Why? Very simple. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33. That's why I'm saying this. Scriptures is right there. Look at it. Look at it. Look what he said. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. We got to stop here. Let me reread that again. That's something wrong there. We shouldn't have no tribulation. We're born again. We've been set free. We got Jesus. That must be a misprint. No. It's not. The Lord spoke it. In these things I have spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I can't remember exactly where that passage is at, but I do know how to quote it. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. I can do all things, folks. Listen, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me, even in my crisis, even sometimes in my doubts, even in my pains and my hurts and my ups and downs. All things I can do through Christ Jesus. Jesus says we will have tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. Greater is he who is in you than he who is of this world. And I was reminded, my friends, what we see here, that God is helping us to see how truly weak we are. That's right. When we are faced with these crises, God is helping us to see how truly weak we are. He is allowing these moments of struggle to show us how in need of him that we are. That's right. He's showing us. Trying to get you to understand you're in need of me. Quit trying it on your own. Quit trying it on yourself. Quit trying to read those crazy books by these other people. Quit trying to listen to bad advice from your friends. Come to me, ye who all are heavy laden with burdens. I don't know how many of y'all saw that movie, and I need to watch it myself, Pilgrim's Progress. I forgot the character's name. But he's carrying burden on his back. And a lot of times that's what we're doing. Because Jesus tells us, take my yoke, for it is easy. Yours is heavy to carry. Christian, yeah, that's his name. So when we're faced with these crises, God is showing us how truly weak we are. And he's showing us that we must become dependent upon him. And even through these crises, we must not compromise. Oh no, don't ever think about compromising. Well, I think I'm going to compromise a little bit. No. What we believe. Do not compromise what we believe. Do not try to make it your way. Folks, again, during these times of crisis, we must not compromise what we believe and not give into the world or what the world is trying to get us to think, that we, who are Christians, are being asked to surrender to the world in these last days. And we're seeing that massively. We're seeing the world changing its views. We see the world agreeing with everything. Oh, you can be a lesbian and a Christian. Folks, I'm not trying to knock down all this, but you can be a homosexual and be a Christian and a follower of Christ. You can have same-sex marriages. You can have gay preachers. And if you notice, it puts a lot of churches in crisis of beliefs because, well, that was back then. I don't think it applies to that. Folks, God's words does not change. Quit trying to surrender to what the world is trying to tell you to do when you are faced with a crisis. But I want you to know some good news. If you are down and low and beaten and smashed and dragged and drugged and whatever in your crisis, God sends his message. And he's telling us, hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming. And we as God's people must hold on. God is coming, folks. So when you find yourself weak, in the dark, uncertain of the future, when all the color has drained out of life and your soul is downcast, look up. Look up. When you get to the point you're so far down and you're so far low that you cannot go no lower, then the only way to go is up. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, your good shepherd. Stick close to him. Trust in him. Trust that he knows the way through this valley. And he will see you safely through it. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil. The Lord comfort me and guide me. Don't fear that valley. Don't fear that crisis. Believe that he has good reasons for taking this route. Even though it's hard and unfamiliar at times, hold on to the truth. Hold on to that truth that there is something better waiting on the other side of this valley. Amen. Let's pray.